prosper with fruit, prosper from home. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Notice Paul's writing to the Philippians here. He calls them his dearly beloved. First, his brethren, genuinely saved people. Dearly beloved, and not only that, but longed for. He's respecting the Philippian Christians. My joy, my crown. You know, there's crowns in the Scripture. 5 crowns, actually. And 1 Corinthians 9:25, there's an incorruptible crown. There's reward for those believers at the judgment seat of Christ. The second is a crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. Third is a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Fourth is a crown of life, James 1:12 and Revelation 2:10. And five is a crown of glory, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And so he calls these people his crown. He's proud of them. And he praises the Lord for them. He wants them to take care of themselves and stand fast for the things of the Lord. Now that word standing fast is something that churches these days do not believe in, apparently. They don't stand fast. If you go back 100 years, you see what the churches believed 100 years ago, do they believe that same thing today? No. They've drifted and drifted and drifted. You can go back 50 years. Once they believe that, they still believe it? No, they don't. They've drifted as well. Go back 25 years. Go back even 10 or 15 years. I think of the church in Cherry Hill that we were members of for years, 10 or 12 years. It used to be called a Baptist church. Now it's no longer called a Baptist church. Not even a church anymore. It's called something else. Two little words. To stand fast. We need to have standards that are standing fast for the things of the Lord. We can't give up. We can't pull away from the things of Scripture. I want to use some 17 verses on this topic. This topic is standing fast. First Mark 3, verse 24. The Lord Jesus said, if the kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom can't stand. Division doesn't make a person to stand, the kingdom will stand. And a house is divided against itself, that house can't stand. Division of the house causes it to fall, not standing. Then in Acts 26, 13, when Paul was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, ready to kill Christians and imprison Christians, at midday, O King, he's telling about his testimony. I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, shining round about me and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I did not stand yet, fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying, in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Therefore stand. And Paul stood. He was down below, but now the Lord Jesus told him, stand and keep standing. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things that thou hast seen, those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. And then another verse from Scripture, Romans chapter 5, and verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand. The people there at the Church of Rome stood firmly for the grace of God. We've got to stand as well. Another verse in Romans 14, and verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. And he should be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we know him as our Savior, he's able to keep us and help us to stand. And then a fifth verse in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. Paul wrote to the Christians at Corinth, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Our faith must stand in the power of God, not the wisdom of man. And then a sixth verse, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. standing in the gospel, standing for the gospel, the biblical gospel, we have to keep it standing for it. A seventh verse, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Paul said to the church of Corinth again, watch ye, that is, keep an eye out for things around you. Secondly, stand fast in the faith. Not simply standing, but stand fast. That's strong, permanently, and strongly stand, and quit you, or equip you like men. Be strong. To stand in the faith is being taken away these days. Many people started standing, they've lost and changed and moved away from the faith. And one has the article of the faith that refers to the doctrines of Scripture, the theology of the Scripture. For the faith, all the doctrines that the Bible teaches us, we've got to stand for, and not too many people anymore standing for that faith. An eighth verse in 2 Corinthians 1, in verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, said Paul again to the Corinthians, but your helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Faith in the Scriptures, the Word of God, makes us to stand. It has to be by faith. It's not to be by intelligence or anything else that we think. By faith ye stand. Then in Galatians, a ninth verse, Galatians 5 and verse 1. To the church there at Galatia, Paul writes, stand fast, therefore. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. These Galatians were mixed up with the law of Moses, and they wanted to go back to the law of Moses and follow the law of Moses. Paul says, no, get out of that law. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Don't be entangled again to that bondage of the law of Moses. The law of Moses never saved anybody. Could never save a soul. And some of them were going back to it, like in the church of Galatia. A tenth verse in Ephesians 6 and verse 11. Paul, he's writing from prison at Ephesus. He writes to those people at Ephesus, put on the whole armor of God. Put it on just like a coat, like a dress, like a garment, like a coat. Put on the whole armor, God's armor, that ye, for the purpose of so that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Standing fast in the Lord causes us to be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies, the tricks, the deceitfulness of the devil himself. And we must have the whole armor of God. We must be able to stand and stand fast for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the 11th verse, Ephesians 6, verses 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Again, the whole armor of God, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. You saw all these different armaments that are listed in Scripture. The whole armor of God. What? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is an evil day we're living in right now, 2017. Evil day. People that are believing the Bible as we are, that preach the Scriptures, that believe in the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection, the blood atonement, are looked upon as fools, and are looked upon as ignorant people, and not to be followed. But we've got to stand in this evil day that we may be able to stand against Satan's wiles. Satan's got all kinds of tricks. Can't fall for his tricks. He makes the white, which is not white, look white. The darkness looks white. It looks the darkness, white looks dark. He's just switching things around. The devil is an angel of light, but also he's the satanic spirit of darkness. So be careful against his wiles, his deceits, his tricks. And then 11th verse, Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. Wherefore again to the church at Ephesus, when Paul's in prison, take unto you the whole armor of God. Not simply a little bit of it, the whole armor of God. The Scriptures give us that armor, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all, to stand. And then he says in verse 14, stand therefore. Stand in the Lord, not in yourself, not in your wisdom. Have your loins girt about with truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness. These are some of the armor that God has provided for us. Arms and loins with truth, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then in Philippians 1 and verse 27. Again, Paul's writing this from prison. He's in the Roman prison. And it says, only let your conversation, your way of life, your manner of life, be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. whether I come and see you, or else I'll be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. These are standing in one spirit as believers. There at the church, that we should stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together, not against each other, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's important that we see that. It's the 13th verse, Philippians 4, and verse 1. Paul says to the church of Philippi, he's writing there, he's in prison when he writes it. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, this is the verse we just quoted right this morning, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. That's the verse that we're talking about and illustrating in these other verses. We've got to be fast and strong in the Lord. Fast means firm. Firmly in the Lord. And then the 14th verse, Colossians 4, and verse 12. Epaphras. Again, he's writing from prison in Colossae. Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What does he labor for in prayers? What are your prayer requests? That he may stand perfect, that is, complete and mature, and complete in all the will of God. That's another thing we've got to stand for in the Lord, the perfect will of God. You say, well, how am I going to find the will of God? The perfect will of God is found in His Bible. Perfect scriptures give us His perfect will. You've got to stand in that will. And that's in the 15th verse, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 8. The church of Thessalonica, Paul writes, for now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. What does that mean? Does that mean he's going to die? That means he doesn't really want any of these people who's led to Christ in that church of Thessalonica to lose the stand that they should have for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His Word. That's the same way with me, as a pastor. I want everyone in this church, everyone that's listening, not only here but in the internet, to stand fast in the things of the Lord, firmly, and not to quiver, not to waver, and not to drift. The 16th verse, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Again, to the church of Thessalonica, the second time he wrote them. Therefore, brethren, writing to believers, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. The tradition, now some traditions back to the tradition of Scripture that Paul has written down, he's taught them from the Bible. That's the type of tradition we're to hold fast, stand fast, and hold firmly. And then the final, the 17th verse, is 1 Peter 5 and verse 12. Apostle Peter says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Standing in the grace of God, giving us things we do not receive and do not believe and not merit we don't deserve. Let's read verse number 2 together. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Continuously, it's present tense, beseeching. He commands. Now, some people have called Euodias and Syntyche by two different names. Euodias, Euodorus. Euodorus. And Syntyche, Syntyche. Soon touchy. So one that smells and one that's touchy. And apparently they were fighting. These two women in the church, and some women do fight in churches. They just argue back and forth. So I beseech you that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Unified together as believers instead of fighting as they were. Other verses that talk about the same mind. For example, we have some of these verses in verses in Romans 12 and verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. He urges the people of the church at Rome to be of the same mind. Mind not high things, but condescend of men of low estate. Then in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. There's a lot of fightings in the church at Corinth, lots of discussion, lots of evil, and he beseeches them to be united in some way in the Scriptures, not united in all the other things. Aren't always in agreement with other things, but in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, we can be of the same mind. Then in 1 Peter 4, verse 1, Apostle Peter says, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Same mind as the Lord Jesus had, suffering in the flesh, the cross of Calvary, we spit upon and hit. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Let's look at verse number 3 and read that together. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers, that they enter in the book of life. So he's entreating and encouraging this true yoke fellow. Don't know who that true yoke fellow is, his name. Maybe the pastor of the church there at Philippi. And he's asking this yoke fellow, which won this leadership positions, yoke with Apostle Paul and the Lord, is to help. Who's he to help? Women which labored with me in the gospel. That's not saying that women are preachers. That's contrary to the will of God and the word of God, very clearly. But those who are laborers with Paul, helpers. We have ladies in churches that help, whether it's writing things, whether it's singing, whether it's teaching Sunday school, whatever. We have laborers in the gospel. Also, with Clement. The women help Clement also, and with other of the fellow laborers, who are Christians whose names are in the book of life. Names in the book of life. The book of life is an interesting subject. We have several verses on it. Revelation 3:5, for example. He that overcometh, the saints will be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I believe if the book of life is for saved people, I'm going to be blotted out. See, that would be losing salvation. I've come to understand the book of life. Everyone in the whole world starts out in the book of life. But if they don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're no longer in there. They're blotted out of what the Lamb's book of life, at least. Book of life. Revelation 13:8. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. The Lamb slain, and they'll follow the ones who Satan, the dwell upon them, shall worship the false Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life. They've been scratched out, apparently, not written. Then in Revelation 17, and verse 8, another verse on the book of life. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names are not written in the book of life. They're lost, and they're not there anymore. They're gone because they have not trusted the Savior. From the foundation of the world, and behold, the beast. They just talked about the things that are going on during the tribulation period when the church won't be here. In Revelation 20, and verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The book of life, another book. The books were open. See, there's a book of their deeds, and there's a book of life. Then, in another verse in Revelation 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Book of life, those that come to the Lord Jesus Christ are saved and on his life. In Revelation 21, verse 27, another verse on the book of life. There shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Here's the Lamb's book of life, those who are saved people. And so on. Then in Revelation 22, verse 19, one more verse. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, as the new versions have done repeatedly, whether it's the American Standard Version, New American Standard Version, Revised Standard Version, New International Version, English Standard Version, various versions. If anybody takes away and drops out, as the Gnostics have done, some 2,000 words from the Book of Life, notice what it says. God shall take away his part out of the Book of Life. Not necessarily take away and lose his salvation, but his rewards will be gone, his part. And out of the Holy City. These are some of the verses on the book of life. Let's read verse number 4 together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. First Paul writing from prison, you think it'd be doom and gloom. He's saying rejoice. In fact, in these 8 verses in Philippians, he's had 10 different times he says rejoice. Philippians 1:18, for example. I do rejoice and will rejoice. Those are 2 times. Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Philippians 2:17. I will be offered the sacrifice of service for your faith. I rejoice and I joy with you all. Philippians 2:18. The same cause you joy and rejoice with me. Philippians 2:28. I send him therefore to care for him. When you see him again, he may rejoice. In Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Always is a good thing to do. In Philippians 3, in verse 3, we worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 4, in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. 10 different times, simply 8 verses, talks about joy. Then he talks about joy, not only in that place there, but he talks about joy many times, 6 different times and 6 different verses every time. In prison, Philippians 1, verse 4, always in every prayer, I'm making requests with joy. Joy. In Philippians 1, 25, having this confidence, I know he shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith. There should be joy in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not gloom and doom, but joy. Philippians 2 and verse 2, fulfilling my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love. That gives Paul joy. He's writing from prison, the church of Philippians. And then Philippians 2 and verse 17, if I be offered the sacrifice and service for faith, I joy with you all. Philippians 2:18, a 5th time, the same cause also ye do joy with me. Philippians 4:1, therefore, dear beloved, long for my joy and my crown. Paul was a joyous prisoner. It's not very easy to do. Now, you and I may one day become prisoners in FEMA camps, shut up. And that's not too hard to think about. In all the different places where the people have been taken for captives, whether it's in China or wherever, in North Korea, there's prison camps for those who are solid believers. We may have to spend that time. I wonder if we're in the prison camps, if we'll be as Paul, rejoicing, having joy in the Lord, and standing fast for the Lord, no matter what it is. Now, they may not keep us alive, they may kill us in prison, that's a possibility. But don't remember, we've got Russian troops on this soil, we've got Chinese troops on this soil, we've got all kinds of Islamists, some 14 or 15 or 20 different Islamic places recording training centers in this country. And when they're all released, who knows what's going to happen. Let's read verse number 5 together. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Your moderation. Now that word moderation is epieikes. Epieikes. It means your equitability, your fairness, your mildness, your gentleness. It says to the Philippian Christians, let it be known to all men. And then it says, the Lord is at hand. Now that word at hand, it means it's here at any time. It's been over 2,000 years since Paul wrote this. But it's still at hand. It's imminent. Well, if it's at hand and imminent, it has no fulfilled prophecy. It's going to come at a certain time. That's why the people that are for this September 23rd of this year, the Lord is going to return. The rapture is going to take place. No. It's imminent. It may occur at any time. It's not predicted. So everybody can be ready for it. You live for the devil until that time comes and you're ready. No, at any time. Could come today. Could come right now. Could come this week. And moderation of the Lord is at hand. Let's read verse number 6 together. Be careful for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. Now he's saying, as I say in prison, he's saying, be careful. Now, I work for careful means to be worried and concerned, overly concerned and worried. And it's a present tense, it's a negative. And the Greek word grammar says when it's a present tense negative, it's to stop an action already in progress. These people, Philippi, Philippian Christian believers, were worried and concerned. He says, stop it. Stop your worry. such a concern. But on the contrary, in verse 6, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Notice all those characteristics. Pray to the Lord, don't be worried. Supplication of the Lord, with thanksgiving. Be sure to thank the Lord for all He's given you if you're genuinely saved. And then let your requests be made known unto God. That's the answer for carefulness and worry and concern. Prayer. As far as care and carefulness, in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we know that one. We'll say it together. Casting all care on Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you. Luke 10, 41. Jesus answered and said to her, now this was at Lazarus' death and resurrection. Martha was his sister. And the Lord Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to His word. And Mary chose the better part. Martha was busy serving, so that's good. But anyway, then the words on thanksgiving. On thanksgiving. Colossians 2 and verse 7, for example. Talking about the Lord Jesus, rooted and built up in Him. First thing we've got to do is be rooted in Christ by genuine faith in Him. Yesterday I talked to a person that came and was concerned about how to get to heaven, how to be a Christian. I said to that person, the two or three things you must understand very briefly. Number one, God considers every person, man, woman, child in this world, a sinner. Do you understand that you're a sinner? Do you agree with God that you're a sinner? Oh, yes. He says, oh, yes. The second thing is, in God's plan for salvation, He sent His only begotten Son to this world to die on the cross of Calvary, to take the sins of the whole world in His own body as a sacrifice, to die for the sins of the world. Do you believe He died for your sins, I asked that person. Yes, I believe He died for my sins. The third part of that, getting to be a Christian, you must receive that Christ. You must believe on that Christ. You must accept that Lord Jesus as your Savior. In John 3:16, we quote it, I said together, you must say it all together. God Jesus, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what we need to do, accept Him, and that's God's promise, that trusting Him we have everlasting life. That's your request. And in thanksgiving, we're rooted and established in the faith, abound therein with thanksgiving, abounding therein, established in the faith, build up, saved. Then in Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This word for anxious is meramnao, be troubled with lots of cares and so on. Let's read verse number 7 together. And the peace of God, despite its all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice, after not be worried and stop worrying with your cares and making your request known to the Lord and praying to Him and asking, after that, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that shall keep your mind. That's the next verse. God's peace. Peace, even the prison will keep you peaceful. Which passeth, that exceeds all understanding. It's nothing to do. People, human beings can't understand God's peace. It's way over and abundantly above their understanding. That understanding shall keep and guard two things, the hearts and the minds. You have to have both of them guarded and kept by the Lord. Hearts and minds, our thoughts, through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's verses on peace. For instance, in John 14, 27, the Lord Jesus said, peace I leave, say it again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace He gives to those who are saved and genuine Christians. In John 16, 33, perhaps you know that one. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, have overcome the world. Tribulation in this world is overcome the world. Then in Romans 5:1, we know that. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. In Colossians 1:20. You may know this one. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, whether they be the things of earth or things in heaven. Then finally, Colossians 3, verse 15, in other words, for peace. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule. Take over and charge, for which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. And as far as the part of that word peace, some of us have memorized the definition, but if you know it, let's say it together. Of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot, of whatsoever sort it is. That's peace. Peace. And then the keeping power of God. In John 17, verse 11, I'm no more in the world. He's praying to the Father. This is the Lord Jesus praying to the Father. I'm no more in the world. But these disciples, these people that are left, these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Every believer today, saved Christian, keep those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Then in John 17, verse 15, again, this prayer unto the Father. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, these Christians, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil. That word for keep is a very important word, and it's a strong word. Keep them from evil. Then in Acts 16, verse 23, when they laid many stripes upon them, that is the disciples, they beat them severely, these apostles. They cast them into prison. It was Paul and Silas, the two that were cast in prison in Acts chapter 16, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He's supposed to guard them and keep them in jail. When the jail, God wrought a miracle, the jail doors were open, all the prisoners, maybe they could flee, the jailer wanted to kill himself because he didn't keep them safely. The Lord overruled. But keep them. And then in Acts 24, verse 23, Paul was there in Rome. He was there and commanded a centurion to keep Paul. I guess it was before he went to Rome. Keep Paul before he went to prison, before he went over to Rome. Let them have liberty. He may have forbidden none of those acquaintances to minister to come unto him. As he was there, paused, perhaps on one of the islands, before he went to Rome. Commanded the centurion, commander of 100 troops, to guard and keep Paul. Then 2 Timothy 1, and verse 12. Which cause I suffer these things, Paul says. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded, say together, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy, that's his last letter before the Lord took him home. Is able to keep against that day. Then in Jude 24, I think we know this one. I'll say it together if we do. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before his presence in his glory, with exceeding joy. Remember that word, that passeth knowledge, in verse 7. The peace of God that passeth knowledge. That's hupereko is the Greek word for that. Standing on, rising above, to excel, to be superior than anything else, to surpass anything that's there. To keep you, overcome you, it passes all things you can think about. Aboard. Then the one for, word for keep, that's forever. That means to guard, to protect by a military guard. God's word. And to protect it, it means to guard and to keep someone. So when the Lord promised to keep us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to keep things like that, it's a guarding thing, very, very clear. Let's read verse number 8 together. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, God has given us some things to think about. A lot of times we're so cumbered by the TV and the internet and all the other things that come upon us. We don't think about these things. There are 8 things, he says, to think about. Your mind should be on these things. First, things that are true, honest things, not the fake news and false things, things that are true. The Lord Jesus is true, the way, the truth, and the life. The words of God are true. Think on these things. The second thing, things that are honest, not dishonest and like a bandit that steals, honest things. The third thing, things that are just, that is righteous and holy. What's the things that are pure? Not impure things, impure thoughts, impure deeds, impure actions. Pure things. Holy things. What's the things that are lovely? Not unlovely and ugly. Lovely things. Think about these things. What's the things that are of good report? Not scandalous, bad report, gossiping. And then notice the seventh thing. And if it be any virtue, virtuous things. Not wickedness and sins and things that are not virtuous. And finally, the eighth thing, there be any praise. The things that honor the Lord, praise the Lord. Think. It's a continuous present day action. Continue to think on these things. Our thought life is important. Those words, in your Christian, our thought life, God looks upon it. God sees what our thoughts are. That's not through our actions. People see our actions, they don't see our thoughts. But God does. All these things, think about those things. Let's read verse number 9 together. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now Paul is there in prison writing to the Philippian Christians. He says, I've been an example to you. Those things which ye have learned of me, received in me, heard in me, and seen in me, do. I've tried to be an example to you, Paul says. That's there. Do those things. Do the things of the Scriptures. You don't have Paul anymore to be example. We've got to have the Scriptures as an example. And do, continue to do. He says, the God of peace shall be with you. Things that we can learn about. He says, what you have learned. Now, the only way we can learn about the Lord, what He wants us to do, is from the Scriptures. Learn about the Lord in the Bible. In Matthew 11, 28, you know this one? Let's say it together. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come and learn of me. The Lord Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit the words of the Bible. The Holy Spirit gave to the writers the words. The Lord's words, the Lord Jesus' words. Learn of me. Scriptures are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ He wants us to learn about. Then Titus 3, verse 14, also a verse of learning. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, to be not unfruitful. Learn to maintain good works. Another learning, not simply being saved by grace through faith in our Savior, but after that, like in chapter Ephesians 2:10, works follow that God is pleased with. So learn. The only way you can find good works is in the Scripture. All the bad works are all around us. We see those all the time. But in the Scripture, some good works. Let's read verse number 10. Yeah. And I rejoiced in the Lord and greatly, and now at the last repair me and flourished again. Wherein you are also careful that you lack an opportunity. But Paul is saying here, he rejoiced in the Lord. It's also his own rejoicing. Greatly. Not at the last, your care of me at first. Apparently they forgot about Paul for a while. Maybe you didn't forget, but they couldn't send him gifts. But after a while, they began again. He's thanking the Lord and thanking them for that. Giving gifts to him there in prison. You were careful. You were concerned. But you lacked opportunity. It wasn't that they didn't want to. They were concerned for Paul's needs in prison. But it's flourished again, and finally they began giving to him again. He's very thankful that they continued. He rejoiced with the Lord greatly. Let's read verse number 11 together. Not that I speak of this faith of God, or I learn whatsoever shame I am, therewith to be content. Now, Paul is not speaking to respect to want. He's saying that Philippians gave to him out of their need, out of his need, and when they got around to it, able to do it. Not speaking, continues to speak in respect of one. You think in prison, he'd speak of a lot of things he would need. where is my shepherd, I shall not want, not have lack of things. Not speaking of what he lacks, because he's learned some things. Learned in his life, learned in this imprisonment. Notice what he's learned. Whatsoever state I am, whatever condition I am, the present tense condition continues. That's whatever state, whether in prison or out of prison, whether being rebuked or not rebuked, whatever it is, therewith to be content. Therewith to be content. That's a very important thing. To learn to be content. In, for example, we've said Psalm 23, you know that, the first verse I said together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's the shepherd of those that are genuine Christians today. The Lord is my shepherd. Personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 34, verse 9 to 10, fear the Lord, ye saints. There's no want for them that fear him. May not be as high a ladder as you'd like to be, but there's no want. He takes care of us if we trust him. Young lions do not lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Not any good thing. And then in Luke 15, verse 14, when he had spent all, there was a mighty famine, that son that went away from his father. In that land, he began to be in want. Luke 15, the son that left the father, the prodigal son, he was in want. Finally, he said, I'm in want. He went to his father, came back to the father, and repent. Contentment. What about contentment? Paul says, in whatsoever state I am, there would be content. In Luke 3, in verse 14, the soldiers likewise commanded of him, saying, of what shall we do? He said unto them, what do the Lord Jesus, talking to the soldiers, do violence to no man, that's number one, neither accuse any falsely, that's number two, and be content with your wages. He said, it's hard to do sometimes, be content with your wages. And then in 1 Timothy 6, and verse 6, we know this one. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Not necessarily the bank. Not necessarily the pushing for advancement. But godliness with contentment. Paul says, I know in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Godliness with contentment. Wonderful verse. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Food and clothes. That's sometime we better be out of food. If indeed the MP3 comes, the whatever it is, not MP3, it's the, what is it? EMP, thank you. Electromagnetic force, power. EMP. When that EMP comes, as North Korea is able to make it come, all I have to do is shoot something over in the skies and shoot off a little bit of atomic weaponry, and every electricity in the whole nation or wherever it hits will be lost. You won't have any phones, you won't have any heat, you won't have any light, your cars won't start, nothing will be safe. And people can't drive, there will be no food in the stores, and there will be a want, and people will be hungry if that happens. And hope it doesn't happen. I wish Obama had made place that they couldn't do that. It's possible to do that, to ward off that. I wish this president would do it and do it fast. He's waiting in patience. A couple of years, that's not enough. But someday we may have to be in want as well, of food. But having food and raiment, there would be content. We've got to stock up on food. Be prepared against that day when hunger will be. And when that hits, millions in this country, if it does hit, not saying it will, but if it does, and they're planning to do it, if they can possibly work it, millions will die in that country for lack of food. But having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And for whatever state it is, if that happens to us, be content as well. Even if churches across the street make parking difficult, be content. I'm glad we got three places to park in a driveway. I'm glad if people found the three. One, two, three. They found it. That's good. And if it comes to rest, was that? That's what but I'm saying. We got the three. But if you pull up tight enough to the garage, somebody can park behind you as well. So if we get more than three, time to get six. Mm-hmm. Then I say if you're in the front court, you've got to wait till the other person gets out before you leave. But the Lord is good to Paul. He's writing this thing, and he wants us, he urges the Philippian Christians to stand fast in the Lord. Not in their own strength, but in the Lord. And stand for the Lord, stand for His Word, stand for the Bible, stand for everything. And be content with everything that He's given to us. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee for this letter that Paul wrote from prison. We're glad that he could still rejoice and find joy even in jail. Help us, Lord. We're not in jail. We've got so many things to be thankful for, and yet many times we're not thankful. But help us to be thankful for all Thou hast done for us, and Lord Jesus Christ sending Him to this earth. We trusted Him, giving us salvation. Guide us and direct us. Bring us back for the Bible study afterwards, and guide us and come back on Thursday for the Bible study as well. God, give us grace to live for our Savior, standing fast and permanent, not moving, for the Scriptures and the truth, and for our Savior, Jesus' name. Amen. Take our hymnals again.